at all. All right, so if we remember, a few weeks ago, we were all, we had lots of chances to share those stories with folks. Maybe you do, maybe you haven't, but it just always reminds me how from one week to the next, all of a sudden, the fervor or the zeal with which we are sharing the gospel, it's so easy for that to get quenched. And so we've always got to keep it to the forefront, always up there. I know Deborah's not in here today, but she had just a really great opportunity to speak with someone that was a patient of hers. So I know that as the Lord presents opportunities, we've got to be ready, we've got to be prepared, but then we also have to look for those opportunities, right? So that's what I'm always reminded of when I think of this story. And we've talked about it before, but there's a lot to say in the story of the woman at the well in John chapter number 4. So let's ask the Lord's help, and then we'll continue. God, we thank you that we can be here today. We pray that you'd help us as we look at the Bible. I pray that we would be challenged and encouraged by what you have for us. And as just looking, Lord, at how your care for people, and just traveling back this morning and seeing the steps that you took to reach others. And we thank you most of all that you came from heaven, that you gave, that you laid aside the rights of your deity, that you became a man, that you gave yourself for us, that you sought after us, that you reached out to us when we were not seeking you, and that you saved us. Lord, we just give you praise for that. We thank you. Help us to just rejoice in that this morning. I pray now that you'd help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Now, therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Just a note here. Last Sunday night, we talked a little bit about baptism on a Sunday night. And I made the comment about Jesus not baptizing. And I was confronted with this passage here that Jesus did baptize. His disciples did. It's interesting there. I haven't studied it a whole lot because baptism was not a focal point of Jesus' ministry, but there was baptism that went on. But here's what's happening. The Pharisees the Lord knew how the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. So that's the distinction there. I don't know when that changed or whatnot, but the disciples are baptizing in the name of Jesus. Okay, now verse number 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So why is he leaving? Because the Pharisees are trying to stir things up, right? The Pharisees are trying to cause problems. Like, oh, well, John was the preeminent preacher, and now Jesus has come along, and oh, look at this, and this is happening, and now all the attention is going to Jesus. And there were times they tried to stir up strife between the two factions, but it didn't happen. Now, just a thing to make note of in that, you can find this principle all throughout the Bible. When the Spirit of God is moving, when people are coming to Christ, when growth is happening in a church or in a city, in a movement, you can be sure that there are problems that come around that. There are problems that the devil would like to raise up. But spiritually minded people are able to take problems that could become great and make them small and move on for the kingdom of God. So keep that in mind, right? If a church is going to grow, if a church is going to be built, there will always be problems, and sometimes those problems will take the form of people. But if you're a spiritual person, you can take a small problem, you can take a large problem, and you make it small. But if you are not a spiritual person, you can take a small problem, and you can make it very, very big. And the Pharisees here, that is exactly what they desire to do. They desire to take a problem here that was happening and make it big. But Jesus says, oh, we're not going to worry about that. What we're going to do is, I've got another mission to go on over here. And so in the midst of people saying, oh, well, what about this? And let's make a fuss about this. And let's come and maybe we'll give Jesus a hard time. Jesus says, okay, that's all right. The Lord has leading me to go to this location. That was kind of for free, but it's an important principle. You see it all the time, that opposition will come, conflict comes, but as we are relying on the Holy Spirit, he leads us in his paths. So, verse 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So Judea would be down in the south where Jerusalem is centered. And now he heads back up into Galilee. But on the way to Galilee, he says in verse number 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Now, he doesn't have to go through Samaria. Most of the Jews would never have gone through Samaria, and you know why that is. It's because they hated one another. I mean, the disdain was so strong, they didn't even want to be in the same, occupy the same space with each other. But Jesus has a plan. He wants to go. So he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, I'm not going to make a whole lot of, I'm not going to make a big point about the fact that it was the Jew and a Samaritan, although that comes in the story. I think we ought to all have it in our mind that there ought to be no one that we're not looking to share the gospel with. Right? Got a fighter jet or something. I don't know what that is. So, there's no one that we ought to not be willing to share the gospel with. So, in that mind, think about, in that mindset, there are always people, classes in society, behavior patterns in people's lives that we have trouble with, that we are sometimes very uncomfortable with, that we don't like. So, just to say, as a note as we go along here, there's no one that we ought to not be willing to share the gospel with. In fact, there ought to be no one that would not be welcome to come and sit down in the pew of the church to hear the gospel, right? Just because a church takes a stand against things and a church believes the truths of the Word of God does not mean that any form of sinner would not be welcome to sit under the preaching of the Word of God. And I know that we all believe that. And it's a wonderful thing. But that's not true in every place. So, but let's go on now. I want to get to the specific interaction with Jesus and this woman. Verse number 6. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. So the sixth hour, when would that be? What time would that be? It's lunchtime. It's 12 o'clock because the day started at 6 a.m. That was the beginning of the day. So it's lunchtime. It's the sun is at its highest point. It's a hot day. Now, it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now I want you to see verse number 8. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So the disciples have left. They've gone to get the lunch for the day. Jesus sits down at the well, and he's very thirsty at noontime. And you know what's about to take place. I just wonder, though, as we read this, and you know, most of you know what is going to happen. If you don't, it's a really terrific story. Most of you know what's going to happen. I just wonder how many of us the situation at the well would have gone something like this. We sit down at the well. It's hot. I'm really thirsty. Boy, I'm really thirsty. Somebody comes. Hey, would you mind getting me some water? Sure, I'd be happy to get you some water. The water goes. They go down, the water's drawn up, we take a cool sip of water. Boy, sure is a hot day, isn't it? Oh yeah, it's a hot day. Yep, just hanging out here. I really appreciate the water. Hey, no problem, come again. All right, thank you very much. Okay, have a nice day. Right? How many of you that would have been your time at the well? Right? Right? That's our the disciples went to the disciples. Jesus took care of the water, and the disciples' job was to get what? The food. The disciples, you get the food. I'll get the water. I know it didn't happen exactly that way. I'm just putting it into, you know, you get the food, I'll get the water. So What did the disciples accomplish their mission? Well, yeah, they went to get the food, and they did a good job getting the food. But along the way, Jesus took care of the water, so to speak, if you get the point I'm making. Jesus took care of the water, but he also really accomplished the mission and was soul conscious, was conscious. And I think I'll never forget when I was in college maybe, or I heard somebody say that, just a little thing that stuck with me. If everybody walked around, you know, stamped on their forehead, saved or lost, or heaven or hell, and every person we saw, the first thing we saw, you couldn't mistake that, right on their forehead was tattooed, bound for heaven, bound for hell. What a difference that would make in the consciousness of us. Right? Right? I mean, we let's just be honest. We get thirsty, we get hungry, we get busy, we accomplish the mission of the day, but in the accomplishing of our mission, we miss out on the great commission that we've been called to. Right? But Jesus here, disciples are busy. I mean, they're being responsible. They're doing what needs to be done. They're taking care of business. But Jesus is focused on souls. And I just thought about that. Thank you for the water. Have a nice day. But it doesn't go there because Jesus, you say, and think about this. It's not just that Jesus had the plan here, though obviously he did. He intentionally knew about this woman. But he really was thirsty, right? We forget that about the humanity of Christ. Was very thirsty, probably. You walk all those miles and on a hot day. He was very thirsty. But Jesus, because the wonderful thing about Jesus is that he was always filled with the Spirit, right? And that's the, as we look at the life of Christ, we are able to follow the footsteps of Christ as we are filled with the Spirit, as we walk in the Spirit. So you say, well, I can't, you know, that was Jesus, he's different than me. Well, of course he's different than me, but as we walk in the Spirit, we're able to do, to have the same, treat people the same way as Christ did, and be followers of Christ. So, in the midst of the regular activities of the day, the normal desires of his body, he sees this woman, he cares about this woman. So, back to verse number 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Notice here, she was surprised. She was surprised by his interest in her. She was surprised by his interest in her. As we think about the unbelieving world around us and in America today, what is it about Christians that stands out to them? Oftentimes. Now, it's different for all people, obviously, depending on their interactions. And I don't necessarily need to get into all of them. But sometimes, as Christians, we've got to be careful, because sometimes we can be known more for what we are against than being known by what we are for. Right? If we're faithful to the Word of God, the world knows we're against this, we're against that, we take a stand for this, we take a stand against that. But this woman was surprised by the fact that Jesus was interested in her, and cared about her. It surprised her. It was shocking to her that he would be invested in her. Are people surprised? This should be convicting for all of us. Are people surprised? Are they taken aback by the fact that we care for them? So, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, that conversation there, probably, you probably couldn't say that exact thing to someone when you're at the grocery store, or where you're somebody serving you, or something like that. But at the same, Jesus was prepared. Jesus was always prepared. First of all, she's surprised by his interest in her. He takes a genuine interest in her and in her needs. But then also, he was prepared to have a spiritual conversation. Amen? I had a conversation with somebody not that long ago. And I'm not going to get into any of the specifics as far as location or whatever, but they were, this person was talking with someone who was apparently a Christian person, and it was at like a community event with lots of people invited. And they were trying to begin a spiritual conversation with this person. And they're at an event, and this is someone who represented actually a Christian organization. And so these people don't know each other. This person doesn't know what their relationship with the Lord is or not. So this person is a Christian and wants to start a spiritual conversation with supposedly another Christian. And the conversation kept going back to the pizza that was there. And it wouldn't get any further than, and it was just like, oh, well, you know, the Lord has done this in our life or that. It's like, oh, did you get any pizza? That's the complete opposite. Now, maybe that person had a bad day, and that's fine. But how many of us, at times in our lives, are more concerned with the fleshly or concerned with the pizza and not with, oh, here's an opportunity for an open spiritual door. Sometimes the problem is we are not always walking in the Spirit. We neglect fellowship with the Lord. And so then we don't even know it when the opportunities are there. We don't even see them coming. But Jesus isn't just taking an opportunity that presents itself. Jesus is creating an opportunity. Right? He's creating the opportunity. He's prepared. So how? And what happens is we're like, we have these times where we say, oh man, we look back and we say, I should have witnessed to that person. I should have done that. But for Jesus, he knows. This person, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to bring the gospel to them. So she gives him some water. He's like, okay. He's like, why are you asking me? Listen, what I'm really here for, yes, I'd like a drink of water, but I'm really here for you. Have you ever heard of the water of life? Well, you say, yeah, because Jesus knew how it was going to go with this woman. Yeah, of course he did. But we're also called to walk by faith, right? So read on, though. If thou knewest the gift of God, verse 10, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink. Now look at this. Thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse number 11. The woman saith unto him. So she's not getting it. She doesn't. Her spiritual eyes have not been opened yet. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. First of all, you don't have anything to draw with. Second of all, the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Now, she's skeptical. She's skeptical. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Let's go back to how this conversation went with you and me at the well. Ready? Boy, I am really thirsty. Would you mind giving me some water? Sure, I'd be happy to get you some water. Oh, thank you so much. Sure is a hot day, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it's a hot day. All right, I'll be You know what? I probably should witness to this person. Yeah, it's a hot day. It is. Listen, before I go, I just want to give you, I've got this little card. It's actually from my church. I just wanted to leave you with this, something to think about the gospel and about Jesus. Can I give this to you? I'm not really interested in church things. I'm not a religious person at all, so no thank you. Okay, all right, bye-bye. I'm not going to give you a hard time if that's how it went. But is that how it went with Jesus? It didn't, right? The story, because he encounters what with this woman? What does he encounter? What happens? He says, there's living water, and she says, yes, I've been searching all my life for living water. Give it to me. Is that how it goes? What does Jesus encounter? A little bit of what? Resistance. A little bit of resistance. Have you ever encountered a little bit of resistance? Okay, but get this. Jesus knows something about this woman. And it's the same thing that you and I know about every single person we ever could talk to about Jesus. Do you know what it is? It's this. It's that Jesus knows, and what you know is, I've got what you've always wanted and always needed. You just don't know it yet. Right? Right? You see, the bottom line is, we know that Jesus fills the deepest longings of every person's heart. Right? But they don't know it yet. Why do you think there is such a drug epidemic? Why do you think there is such an alcohol problem in America? Why do you think that people are in so many relationships? Why do you think that people are so desperate to go on their next vacation? Why do you think that people are so hungry to make a little bit more money? Why do we think people want all of these things? Because they're not fulfilled. Now, what's going to happen is this woman is unfulfilled. The person you talk to, the person I talk to, they are spiritually unfulfilled, but they don't know it. They don't know it. So we can't expect us to say, hey, I've got good news about Jesus for you. Oh, that's what I've always wanted. Come tell me more. Even the woman at the well doesn't have that reaction. She says, what are you talking about? Are you greater than our father who dug this well? You don't even have... It's almost like she knows that it's a spiritual statement, and I don't know if this is correct or not, but it almost seems to me that she may even be mocking just a little bit. Because she's not confused, because first she might seem confused, like, you don't even have a well to drink, you don't even have a bucket, it's a deep well. But then she seems to indicate she knows he's talking about something different, because are you greater than our father who dug this well? There's skepticism, there's doubt in her voice. But Jesus doesn't stop, because he knows that what she needs is what he has. So I'm just want to encourage you today, have that kind of belief. Have that kind of faith. Because we will encounter resistance. No, we're not going to encounter a whole lot of, get out of here, I don't want to talk to you, I can't stand you. But we are going to encounter a lot of, come on, you're giving me that? Come on, you're religious? Come on, that's not for me. Come on, I don't need what you got there. I'm okay, I'll be fine. That's what we're going to encounter. We have to have the compassion and the care to say, listen, to take it to the next step, and to be persistent. Frank's testimony this morning was perfect, because it talks about having enough. This person has said already they've given you enough resistance, but compassionate, friendly persistence in the right way. Let's read on. So 11, the woman said, the well is deep. You've got nothing to draw it from it with. And from whence hast thou that living water? Verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh, I believe pointing at the well here, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, okay, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You say, okay, so now she's ready. I don't think she's ready quite yet. I don't think she's at the point where I believe a lot of people are. They'd say, you know what, that sounds good. The idea of being in a church or believing in everlasting life, that sounds good. You know, I'll check out. I'll learn a little bit more about this. So it's almost like she's like, okay, well, prove it. Give it to me then. Give me this. If you think, then give it to me. I'll take it. So Jesus, though, he understands that that there's a spiritual issue here. It's got to go a little bit deeper. So what does he say? He says, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, okay, go call your husband and come back. And now it gets personal to the woman. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. So here she is. She's interested. And now, but what does the gospel do? This is the great thing about how the gospel is so far-reaching. It's not just, okay, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, ticket to heaven, there you go. The gospel, it meets the greatest needs and longings of our heart. That's the idea of the water of life, the bread of life. It meets those deep needs that we have, but then it confronts us individually, each and every one of us, as to where we are. But that's another thing that you have to have faith in. You have to have faith, first of all, you have to have faith that what the world is looking for is Jesus. They just don't know it yet. But then you have to have faith, second of all, that when the gospel is given, it has the power to convict the heart. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and you knew that I'm not okay, I need Jesus? And both of those things. But my whole point is this, is that we, as people that say, I want to take it personally, I want to share the gospel, we have to have the confidence, we have to have the faith that God's word and the truth of the gospel is exactly what he said it was. And that it will meet the greatest needs of people's heart, and that when it's given to people, it will speak to them, it will convict them. And that, for me, that changed. And I don't always think this way, but I should. But when I came to that realization, actually many years ago, that says, you know what? God promised that when his word is given, when the gospel is given, that he would speak to people's hearts. When you realize that, it gives you so much more freedom to share the gospel with others. Because you give it with confidence. And you say, listen, I understand you might be skeptical. I understand. I'm not. In fact, you might think of me as a religious person. I'm really not. It's just that Jesus has changed my life. And I believe that he can do the same thing for you. So why don't you just take that and read it and think about it? I'd love to talk with you about it if you'd be open to that sometime. And to just take it a step further in faith and in confidence. Because this woman now, she says, Jesus says, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. No, you've had five. And the man you're living with, he's not your husband. Now she's just shocked. Think about everything going through her mind. I'm a Samaritan, and he's still talking to me. I'm a woman of bad reputation, and he knows all about me. And then just the simple fact that he knows everything about me. And she says, sir, verse 19, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that at Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Okay, again, the woman at the well, so many ways we could go in this. I'm just showing you this morning these three interesting things that we know about people that they don't even know that they know. One is that the gospel fulfills the deepest longings of their heart. Two is that the gospel will convict them. But thirdly, what do we now learn about this woman at the end that we would never have known if Jesus hadn't continued this conversation with her? You may not get it, you may not catch it, but what do we learn about here in that last section that I just read, that in casual conversation, thanks for the water, it's a hot day, oh, sure is, have a great day. What do we learn about her now? Yeah, she has, and I'm going to rephrase it if you don't mind, but you're absolutely correct. She has lots of spiritual questions. Right? I mean, she has lots of... Go ahead.
And in addition, she had a... it's limited, but she had a spiritual understanding. I mean, in other words...
God had already revealed things.
Right. There had been some seed planted in her heart.
Yeah.
You never know when we talk to people, someone else hadn't already come along weeks, months, years earlier.
If they sat in a Sunday school class when they rode on a bus or something, you know, you just don't know. So to some, those are the exact points that I wanted to bring out. And I'll just summarize it this way, is that people have lots of spiritual questions. They do. Yes, ma'am. Right. But she was mixed up spiritually, right? She said this. It's hard to modern day parallels. People just say so many things about God in the Bible. Some people say do it that way. Other people say it do it this way. How can you really know? She says, Jesus. Well, our fathers say you worship here. The Jews say worship in Jerusalem. People are the same way today. They say, oh, well, you know, the Catholics say this, and these people say this, and then you got the Buddhists, and then you've got these people. People around us have spiritual questions, but they don't ask them. Right? They don't. Why don't they ask them? That's one reason. They're afraid of the answer. Why else? That I think, is exactly right. It makes people vulnerable. It makes them vulnerable. That's why children will ask their parents all those questions. What is God like? And all of those things. How did I get here? But what do people learn as they get older? They learn to stop asking those questions. And they form habits in their lives where the questions are then avoided. But the power of the gospel is it opens all of that back up. But that's difficult for people. And I say this to say, not to prove a point, but to give us a glimpse of how we have to be compassionate to people. We have to care about people. But then just to be confident. There's something about confidence that says, you know what? The gospel is what you've always been looking for. You just don't know it. Now, obviously, you don't say that to somebody because that would be insulting to them. But to you in your mind, have that confidence. Say, they need the gospel. And they want the gospel. They don't know it, though. And then when they hear the gospel, It might not happen overnight, but little by little, it's going to convict their heart. And then thirdly, the gospel is going to open up the questions that they've tried to suppress, and it's going to provide the answers. That sounds pretty neat and packaged pretty well, huh? If only we could walk out of here and wake up each day with taking those facts that are true and just living them out. And with boldness. But why do you think Paul, do you know the great apostle Paul, do you know one of the things he asked the churches to pray that he would have? Boldness. He said, pray that I'll have boldness and pray that I'll have utterance. In other words, pray that I'll have the courage and the faith to say what needs to be said, and pray that I'll say what needs to be said, and only what needs to be said. And so I look at an event like this conversation with the woman at the well, and man, she's the last person anybody thought was going to become the Sunday school teacher in church, right? She's the last person anybody thought would be a great evangelist. What do you mean a great evangelist? Yeah, because you know what happened? She went back to town, and she said, come see a man that told me everything I'd ever done. And you read what happened next, and many, many Samaritans believed on Christ that day. This woman was the least likely person. I had somebody, I'll finish with this story, I had somebody tell me once about, this was years ago, and it's unrelated, but they were telling me how their son was dating an unsaved girl. He was a teenager at the time. And that's not good. It's a bad thing. It's a problem. And he said to me, the gentleman said to me, and just, unfortunately, that family doesn't walk with the Lord anymore. But the father said something strange to me. He said, yeah, but she's so nice. I just think that she's somebody that I could just see becoming a Christian. And I hope she would become a Christian. But I just thought for a moment, maybe we've got it backwards. Maybe it's the one that we don't think would ever become a Christian that is the one that's closest to receiving Christ. It's not about how nice the person is or how good, because we're all lost. We all need Christ. And so this woman at the well, least likely candidate to be a great evangelist, least likely candidate in people's minds to do anything with her life, but Jesus saw her, Jesus took an interest in her, confidently shared himself with her, and she took a drink of the living water, and today, she's in the presence of the Lord. Wow. But that's what it's all about, one by one by one. Each one reach one, as the song says. Well, let's pray, and we'll prepare for our service. Lord, we thank you that we can have church today. We pray that you'd bless this service and help us, Lord, to look at others the way that you do, to see them the way you do, and help us to be bold and confident in sharing our faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.